You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went about enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. CyberPolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.
It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. You know what? It's the first full week of 2017. And it is crazy to me that so many people have already stopped their, pursuit of change, right? Their goal setting stopping, I guess. So they've set some goals, but right now, historically, statistically speaking, a massive amount of people have already stopped looking at their goals. They've stopped going after their goals. Is that crazy? Now, by the end of this week, some crazy amount, like 90% or 80%, maybe as low as 70%, will have completely abandoned their goals. And that is just crazy, crazy to me. I mean, it's just wild stuff. No big deal. But you know what? It's just the way life is. And even though it is amazing and sometimes sad, the reality is it's the way it works. And it works that way for a reason. Right? So you say, well, Bert, what do you mean? Why does it work like that? Well, because if everybody did exactly as they promised to do, the world would be a better place and all of us would be, you know, happy and life would be great. And we just cannot have that. It's just not the way we want it. We have to have things complicated. Let's see. All right, so we're going to go Facebook Live here. So if you want to, you know, catch this on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/Bert Martinez or something like that, and you'll find us there on Facebook. The first broadcast, the first Facebook Live of 2017 happening right now. And we're going to get this party started with my first guest. And we are, by the way, we would appreciate, because we've been playing around with this stuff, and when I say this stuff, Facebook Live, we're trying to integrate Facebook Live. Hey, Mary, thank you for watching. We're integrating Facebook Live with the show. Now, we've had some challenges that have affected our audio. And sometimes our audio is spot on and perfect. And sometimes our audio is spot on, sick, dead as a dog, and terrible, just terrible. So, all right, so let's see if we can make things work here. And let's see, use my new segment producer. If she's there, she's going to let us know, you know, how's the sound. And I know that, all right, guess. All right. So we're going to go here with our first guest. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. No, that's not our first guest. Who's our first guest? Jill. All right. We are ready to rock this thing. We're hoping that, what do you call it? As our technicians and our engineers continue to test this model, we're going to, anyway, have fun with it and keep going. My first guest today is Jill Lublin. Jill is an international speaker on topics of radical influence, publicity, networking, kindness, and referrals. She's the author of 4 best-selling books, including Get Noticed, Get Referrals, and co-author of Guerrilla Publicity and Networking Magic. Her latest book, Prophet of Kindness. Jill Lublin, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here with you, Bert.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here. And Prophet of Kindness, what an interesting title.
Thank you. We like it too. It's really about creating kindness in the workplace and business and life, and how one truly does profit from that without, you know, necessarily making it the focus, but really how kindness does create profit, prospects, and truly richness in life beyond just doing business.
Right. All right, so let's talk about this, because you're sitting around, you've written 3 other books, and you're sitting around, and how did the title Prophet of Kindness work its way into your head? What was the moment where you said, okay, this is the title, I got to go with this?
Well, you know, it's fascinating. My 82-year-old friend, who I just adore, we were talking one day, and she said to me, you know, it's just so sad today how unkind so many people are. And wouldn't it be nice if we had a new currency in the world, the currency of kindness? And I thought, oh, my God, that's so fabulous. That actually is one of my chapters in the book, The Currency of Kindness.
Oh. Jill, rats. We're having a little technical issue. You know, it's one of those things that can make a live show so frustrating, right? That whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And unfortunately, there's just not a whole lot I can do about it. So we're going to try to get Jill back on the line here, get things cranking. All right, so while we're waiting for Jill, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back, guys, right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Bro
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Sorry about that. You know, when you're on Facebook Live, there's a couple of additional buttons I got to press. So we're back. We lost Jill there for a second. She's back, and let's get this thing going. So, Jill, are you there?
I am here. Glad to be back.
All right. Okay. So anyway, you were talking to your dear friend, and you guys were talking about kindness. And my last question, in case the audience has forgotten, I said, how did you come up with the title, The Prophet of Kindness? And you were explaining this, and then we had a little technical glitch. So go on with your story.
Sure. So when she had said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could use kindness as more currency in life and really, you know, treat each other that way and think of it like dollars spent, it occurred to me, yes, you know, how kindness would lead to profit. And therefore, the title of the book was born, The Prophet of Kindness, and how as we use kindness in our business consistently and throughout our life, that we will have, you know, more customers, more clients, more prospects, more relationships, and better business.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting. It's interesting what your friend said. I think that the world in many ways has gotten a little less polite, right? A little less kind. When I was growing up, if your car broke down in the middle of the street, you would easily have three or four or five people stop and help you. And that's not the case anymore. If your car breaks down now, you're on your own.
Exactly.
And, you know, and the other thing that's interesting is I remember this, and this might have been about 10 years ago. I remember I did help somebody who was stranded on the side of the road. I'm trying to remember what it was that they needed help with. Anyway, I helped them, and the guy. So when I pulled over to help this individual, the first things out of his mouth were, "Hey, thanks so much for stopping to help me, but how much are you going to charge me?"
Yes, I love that.
All right, so tell me a little bit about the book. Who is this book for?
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you're in business, this book is for you. And you know, interestingly enough, I'm getting a lot of requests for interviews right now on, you know, major television and wonderful radio, because the truth is the world does need kindness. And I think, you know, if you're a person working in any area of life, the reality is usually for kindness is a good thing. It doesn't really matter what you do. And I think that's really the important piece. But I know that every business owner will really benefit from this book. And certainly anyone who believes that kindness is important. We've been, you know, in a time between election and everything else going on in the world that unfortunately we have, you know, more and more hatred going on out there, divisiveness, and that's really something that needs to be addressed too. So this book is for anyone interested in more kindness.
Gotcha. So, yeah, anybody who's interested in more kindness, that's, would include everybody. I mean, and it sounds like it sounds like it's geared for business owners, but it could be good for mom and dad.
Absolutely. Kindness supports you and no matter what. So, you know, it is more aimed in terms of just supporting you with how to have more kindness in your life, period.
Right. Yeah, no, I love it. Okay, so let's say that somebody picks up your book, they read it. What are some of the lessons that you hope that they walk away from the book?
Well, we have a wonderful return on kindness formula, ROK instead of ROI.
I love it.
So I give people, isn't that fun? Yeah. And I give people a sevenfold way to actually create that, you know, using things like compassion and flexibility and generosity in your world, that you do create more kindness. But, you know, it's as simple as remembering the little things. You know, like you said, when you were growing up, people would stop and help and doing that now, you know, reaching out and seeing how every day, what can you do to make a difference and be more kind and stay really aware about that. You know, not asleep, but aware about that.
Right.
What can I do today to make a difference and be more kind? That's a great question to ask yourself every single day.
Yes. You know, and what I find interesting, too, sometimes we as humans are so kind to everybody else, but let's say sometimes our family members. Our family members, because I guess, you know, it's human nature, and, you know, we sometimes take our families for granted and all that other good stuff, that we sometimes are less patient and less kind with the ones that we love the most, right? And the people at work or maybe our customers were maybe sometimes more kind to them or more patient with them. And it should almost be the reverse, right? I mean, if you're unkind, if you're creating this hostile environment at home and you're impatient and unkind, that's not a good home life.
Right. You know, yes, it does be. It's the old thing, like charity begins at home. Kindness begins at home. And, you know, we do tend to sometimes take the ones who love us most for granted. But, yes, I would say please start with, you know, your children, your animals, your spouses, and be kind.
Absolutely. So we are talking about the prophet of kindness. We're talking about kindness with best-selling author Jill Lublin. And Jill has written four other books. Her latest book is called The Prophet of Kindness, available at Amazon or wherever good books are sold. And Jill, if somebody wants to reach out to you to find out more about what you do, hire you as a speaker, or just to connect with you, what's the best website to reach you at?
Sure. Go to JillLublin.com. Or even, you know, call our office. If I may, I'm just going to tell you, call our office at 415-883-5455 and let me know how I can help you. I'm a specialist in publicity, and one thing I know is that kindness leads to more publicity, and that's a good thing, and certainly can help people orient in any way and also speak to your groups and associations. So thank you so much for that opportunity.
You bet. And you know what's interesting too? I want to use this as an extreme example, because when I think of extreme kindness, somebody who really dedicated herself to helping others, and that's Mother Teresa. And again, that was her calling. That was her mission. It's an extreme example, I think, of kindness. But it goes to show you that it does work. So here's this lady, Mother Teresa, without any real funds, without any real resources, just started helping these people out in India. And she established a global name for herself for kindness. And she got to the point where she was a celebrity. I mean, people, you know, the royals knew her, presidents knew her, people, I mean, just everybody knew her. And because of her kindness, she could have gotten help, and in times she did get help from virtually anybody she wanted to.
Well, isn't that interesting? Yes.
So, you know, it's amazing to me. You know, so I'm just using that as an extreme example. In case somebody doubts the prophet in kindness, there's an extreme example. And there's a couple of things that you got a couple of variables to take into account. One of them is that, A, she did it because she loved to do it. She did not become an overnight success, or let me rephrase it, her overnight success story took about 25 years. And now her legacy of kindness, of love, will last, you know, probably until the earth is gone. But that is what happens, when that is your mission. And so no matter what your mission is, you can always make it better by being kind.
Exactly. You got it. That's really the focus.
All right. So, Jill, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Again, the book is called The Prophet of Kindness and available wherever books are sold. Jill Lublin, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. All right. Guys, good stuff there about kindness. I think it's a great way to start today thinking about kindness. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest, David Scranton. David Scranton, CEO and founder of Sound Income Strategies, leading market analyst. And I think I want to say David is, we've been fortunate to have David on the show a couple of times, delivers a massive amount of value regarding you and your money. David Scranton, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert. Well, it's good to be back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you have a book, Return on Principle, 7 Core Values to Help Protect Your Money in Good Times and Bad. And one of the things I love about this book is that you actually discuss bad times. Because, you know, a lot of books out there about money and self-help books and personal development books sometimes try to shy away from discussing the bad.
Well, I think you have to discuss the bad with the good. I know your previous guest was referring to a lot of times what I call the rule of attraction, that in lots of areas, you know, the energy you get is the energy that you put out. You know, if you put it out, you get it back, whether it's negative or positive. Financial markets, though, it's not quite that way. You never know what you have because we've gotten to a point over the last 30 years or so where many investors now, or at least a lot of large investors, are not buy and hold investors anymore. They're in it for the short term, which means that the markets are becoming less and less based upon fundamentals and reality and more based upon emotion. And, you know, that's why you have to be careful for those bad times because they're not as predictable as they might have been 30 years ago.
Well, and I think that there has been so much hype, and you correct me if I'm wrong or you know, definitely share your opinion with me. I think there's been so much hype about these guys who, you know, you call them day traders, I think, and the market for a couple hours and they get out and sometimes, you know, and they make, and you hear about them making a killing. And I think that that's great. I was a day trader long before it was called day trading. And this was back in the day when CNBC really was a helpful vehicle. So it's been about 20 years. But, you know, what I learned from my experience is that it's almost kind of like gambling when you're in the market, in and out, you know, you're just trying to make money that day or whatever. You're not buying equity. You're not buying a company because you believe in it. You're just trying to guess what the market might do that day.
Well, that's true. And I'm not talking so much about day trading per se, like it was done 20 years ago in the 90s. You know, a lot of people did it back in the 90s and they'd be in, they'd be out by the end of the day, which is what you're referring to.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, that was a tech bubble phenomenon. But what I am discussing is that, you know, a lot of people today, a lot of whether it's hedge fund managers and now hedge funds through other types of funds are now becoming more accessible indirectly by smaller investors. And what these groups are doing is they're trading on what's called momentum. So, for example, the momentum that occurred after the election, you know, a lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon, not because they want to be in the market, but because there's upward momentum. And they're going to go ahead and get in. They're going to ride it up as long as they can, have one finger on the trigger, and be ready to pull that trigger as soon as the momentum turns. And
right.
And that's why when I wrote the book Return on Principle that you spoke about a moment ago, the book, when people say, what's the book about? I say it's really about whether or not you possess the internal game of investing. You know, a lot of people know the basic rules and concepts of investing and the investing algorithms and so on. But there's a big part of investing that has to determine whether or not it passes, something going on in the markets passes the sniff test, as I like to call it. You know, you have to trust your instincts. So the book is really designed, for example, to help people determine whether or not they have the instincts to become a good investor, or whether they're just going to jump on the bandwagon today, not have one finger on the trigger, not realize that what's going on is momentum that's created by a lot of Wall Street insiders. And then, you know, when the music stops, all the Wall Street insiders find a chair and the average investor doesn't. That's why these instincts and the inside game is so important to me.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I like the way you set that up. That's perfect. All right, so let's talk about this. Right now, a lot of people are focused on the market. They're focused on the, what do you call it, the 20,000, you know, the market going up,
sure.
The market going down. What's your take on this? Does this mean something? Is it confidence in the new president? Is it just, you know, the word that you used before, momentum from last year? What's going on? What's your take?
Well, you know, 20,000 is just a number. But because it's such a round and monumental number, it has emotional impacts even tied to that. So I'm hoping we just break 20,000 so we don't have to talk about it anymore, to be quite honest. But it's whenever you get to a level like that, you know, there's what the insiders in Wall Street call a resistance level. And I call it kind of a glass ceiling that it takes a while for the market to break through. And yes, this has all occurred, you know, after the election. And it's part of this thing we call the Trump rally. And yes, I think we will break through 20,000, but I don't know that we'll break through it by much. I think Wall Street has kind of decided now, everybody's, for lack of a better way to put it, they're on a mission to break through 20,000. So I believe it will happen. And then it's back to kind of business as usual and people investing as they should, which is a good thing.
Right, which is the better thing. Okay, so
that's right.
You know, and it's so funny, too, because I think you're right. There is this energy, this excitement about let's break 20,000. And then people will settle down and they'll talk about it. And it'll be kind of like that, you know, you know, it's going to go on forever. Oh, well, you know, we're just slightly below 20,000. We're just slightly above it, 20,000 and trending, you know, and it's going to be back and forth. And then, like you said, eventually they'll stop talking about it because we've moved past it, right? So,
but sure.
It's funny how we as people sometimes get obsessed about these numbers.
Well, it's really not us; it's really the media. You know, we get the media hype. It's like anything else. You know, I'm down here in Fort Lauderdale, and of course, what happened in the airport in Fort Lauderdale just recently is terrible, terrible tragedy. It really, truly is.
Sure.
And I think the only people that were happy about it in some ways are the media, because it gives them free material. Like, you know, people are thinking, oh, now I don't have to worry about what we're going to talk about today. We'll just fill up the entire news broadcast with the Fort Lauderdale shooting, you know, and it just goes around and around and around. So the same thing is true with these round numbers. And, you know, at the end of the day, people can't lose sight of the fact that the market's really only up about 7% from May of 2015. So, you know, you're talking about 20 months ago, and the market's only up 7%. So that's not a lot, regardless of whether or not we break 20,000 at this particular time.
Yeah, no, I like that. And, you know, it's interesting what you said about the media, because some of you guys listening to this may not know this, but there was a time where the media wasn't a 24-hour situation. And so I remember the day that CNN finally went live and they were going to have news, headline news, 24 hours a day. People were going like, what could you possibly talk about 24 hours a day? and I remember, oh, now I'm blanking now that I said I remember, but there was a the thing that kept CNN alive was one of the wars broke out, and CNN was able to cover it 24/7. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that CNN, because they had very little material to talk about, they had no choice but to just repeat you know, hey, we've been talking about this for the last 15 minutes. And, you know, then they would shoot over the weather, and then they'd give you a financial report, and then they, you know, if something else broke someplace else, they may talk about that, and then it would start the cycle all over again because there wasn't that much information. And now, kind of like to your point, now they're looking for stuff to fill those 24 hours. And if they don't have it, they're just going to sit there and talk about it indefinitely. I mean, CNN covered the Fort Lauderdale shooting, I think, for what, 5, 6, 10 hours? I mean, it was like forever. And so did a lot of the other channels. You know, they just had nothing else. Like you said, this was like the newest thing to talk about, and they were going to beat it to death. And it's like, you know, it seems like I want to call it, you know, grabbing the low-hanging fruit. They're not willing to go out there and find something worth talking about. Let's just talk about whatever's happening that we don't have to really work too hard for.
And somehow, some way, Bert, back in the day, Walter Cronkite used to get through the news in a single hour, and now it seems to take 24 hours. But, you know, and that's the other reason, because, you know, we talked about how the markets are more emotionally driven and more volatile today. And part of it's because the shorter-term holding periods of investments, yes. But the other part of it is the media. It's that, you know, people used to have to wait to get the Wall Street Journal in the morning, and then they'd get the financial news, and they'd know what happened. They can make decisions. Well, now the news is coming out so constantly. I mean, I get notices on my phone, my smartphone. So between Bloomberg and CNBC, I'm constantly getting notices about what's going on in the financial world. And it just creates a shorter-term focus. It creates more volatility. And that's what we've been seeing. But you know what, Bert? Like it or hate it, it's here to stay. So we just need to figure out how to manage it accordingly. I think that's the most important thing. And so do your listeners.
Sure, sure. You know what, and I think it's going to be interesting to see, speaking of managing it, see how President-elect Donald Trump handles the media. Because, you know, this guy, and you have to give him his due respect. I mean, first of all, we have a historical event here. We have a gentleman who becomes president, even though he did not, again, I could have my facts wrong, but this is my recollection. And again, everybody's, you're more than welcome to correct me, but he did not have a major endorsement from any major party or media outlet. I mean, the Republicans weren't endorsing him. There wasn't a major newspaper or media outlet that was endorsing him. In fact, he had multiple Republicans saying, do not vote for Trump. And then he really has gotten into a warfare with the media, where he has called them scum, and he's called them liars and unreliable. And so when they say anything that might even be slightly negative, he goes on a almost defensive like war tactic, right? I mean, he spends a lot of time demeaning the media. And my point being is, again, this is a historical event because we've never seen this kind of relationship. And he's using Twitter as his personal, media outlet, if you will. Great stuff for Twitter. But, you know, this guy, it's just interesting how this is going to unfold, because we're talking about media. And I see that, again, we have Donald Trump coming into office. We have this weird relationship between Trump, Mr. Trump, and the media. And as we know, the media does have a big influence. So if the media doesn't like you, it could hurt your career. And speaking of the media, isn't Donald Trump going to be – doesn't he have a press conference scheduled today?
Yes, he has a press conference scheduled today. And supposedly that's an excuse for the markets hovering still below 20,000 because – you know, they want to see what he says, and as if any words that come out of his mouth are really going to fundamentally change the markets. But again, it's that emotional thing. And one thing I would tell you, Bert, and I really like to tell your listeners, is that, you know, it's funny. The thing you have to be careful with the markets with Trump right now, we have this Trump rally because a lot of the insiders on Wall Street are really pro-Trump. But you know, we have advisors all across the country that are part of my network. We have advisors in California. I personally have an office in Connecticut, which is a fairly liberal state like California. Not as liberal, but fairly liberal. And we've got advisors in the middle of the country, all those red states. And it's funny because in those red states, people are wanting to put all their money in the stock market because Trump's going to save the world. And in the blue states, people are coming in and saying, you know, get me out of the market because I want to get out before the inauguration day. I mean, I literally had the week before Christmas was the last time I was up in my Connecticut office. I literally had three people come into my office with a total of about $5 million who said, get me out of the market before the inauguration date, period. That's how they're concerned they are. So that's like, you know, it's one thing to jump out of a burning building, but, you know, they're actually jumping out of a building before it even catches fire just because they think it might catch fire. So that's making the markets even more emotional right now because the country was split almost right down the middle, whether his policies are really good or whether his policies are really bad. So, you know, he's going to have to spin things in the right way and use the media to his advantage if he wants to keep the markets in a healthy place, especially in his first 100 days. I believe that completely.
No, and I agree with you. And it's something that interesting that you said this. You added this emotional thing because ultimately, I think that the stock market is a reflection of our emotions, right? You hear people all the time talking about, well, the stock market's up because everybody's feeling good and they're confident. Oh, the stock market's down because it's a reflection of everybody's, you know, panic and their fear. So it just makes total sense that you're going to have some people saying, hey, Donald Trump's going to turn everything around and somehow the world's going to change and it's not going to change for better or for worse. Now, yes, there are some groups that he's going to help. I think that, this is my prediction, is that I think we're going to have higher gas prices. We're going to see some additional costs go up because, he is aligned with some of these core industries or some of these industries. And then we're going to see what he does. Now, part of me, I'm just intrigued because we know he's anti-regulation and he's going after these different the people that he has put on these cabinet posts or whatever are also anti-regulation, right? So the guy who's in charge of the Energy Department, is Rick Perry, and Rick Perry was anti-Energy Department. And the person in charge of the Education Department Education Department. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys shake it up. And it could be all good because, you know what, sometimes we get complacent. And maybe they come in and they shake things up and maybe they get some good stuff done. Maybe.
Yeah, I agree change is good. I think, you know, I was personally concerned about having more of the same. You know, am I fearful of Trump being a little bit of a wild card? Of course, I think most people are. Nobody really knows what they're going to get. But I was also fearful of 4 or 8 more years of the same stuff because, you know, what was going on certainly wasn't working to get our economy firing on all cylinders. So the key here is going to be, yes, you know, to maybe reduce some regulation, but not to the point we had, 10 years ago. You remember it was our lack of regulation in the financial industry that caused the financial crisis. And is it possible that things zigged too far in the opposite direction afterwards? Sure. Is it possible they need to come back a little? Maybe. But certainly not back to where they were because we'll just have another financial crisis all over again and nobody wants to see that.
Right. You know what? I'm going to say that sooner or later we're going to have another financial crisis anyway, simply because we're human.
Probably.
We're slow to learn. And, you know, it's just the way it is, right? If it's not the stock market, it's going to be another if it's not the real estate market, it's going to be another market that we screw up or something becomes a debacle. But you know what? Back to this, I'm sorry that I've strayed us so far. The book we're talking about or we're attempting to talk about is called The Return on Principle, 7 Core Values to Help Protect Your Money in Good Times and in Bad. And best-selling author is David Scranton. And David, you're the CEO of Sound Income Strategies. So why don't you tell us, what does Sound Income Strategies do?
Sound Income Strategies is a firm that specializes in fixed income management. You know, we became so addicted to the stock market in the 80s and 90s, the best stock market in U.S. history. And even though the last 16, 17 years haven't been so good with the stock market, addictions are hard to break. And most advisors have gotten to the point where when they think about fixed income, you know, bonds and bond-like instruments, which comprise, you know, half dozen different instruments, depending upon how you want to categorize them. When most advisors think of these fixed income alternatives, they think of them as an afterthought. And usually they'll just put 20, 30% of their clients' money into mutual funds. Well, you know, affluent individuals don't buy mutual funds. If they buy bonds, they buy individual bonds. Affluent individuals understand that individual bonds and bond-like instruments in many ways are more secure than bond funds. And they also understand the importance of having them actively managed. So what we do at Sound Income Strategies is we take that technology that the affluent are privy to, and we bring it down to the average Joe so that the average person can have fixed income management, bonds and bond-like instruments, done in the optimal way. You know, and our goal has always been to get investors 5% return through interest and dividends, not crossing your fingers and toes hoping for growth or capital appreciation, 5% consistent interest or dividends after fees. That always has been our goal, and it most likely always will. And that's Sound Income Strategies. The book, again, was written because, you know, people need more than ever today. You know, you're right, Bert. We did stray, and I laughed when you said that, but we really didn't, because at the end of the day, before you could be a very left-brained economist, a CPA, actuary, you could look at the fundamentals of the market and decide whether it was high or low. It's not just a left-brain function today. It's a right-brain subjective function. And people need to determine whether or not they have the right instincts to determine whether or not the markets make sense at the current level. And I find that even financial advisors, only about 15% of financial advisors truly possess this thing that I call the inside game of investing. And that's why the book is written, so that your listeners and others around the country can take the quizzes in the book, determine whether or not they have the inside game, in other words, to truly be a good do-it-yourself investor. And if not, there's questions in there where they can actually go and ask their financial advisor or interview a financial advisor at random to determine whether that advisor truly possesses the proper instincts, i.e. the inside game of investing.
I love it. I love it. The book, again, is Return on Principle, 7 Core Values to Help Protect Your Money in Good Times and in Bad, available wherever good books are sold, on Amazon. And let's talk about this real quick, because you started to talk about the emotional side of investing, and so I want to talk about this. You have two different scenarios that you're going to see unfold in 2017. Talk about these two different scenarios, the upside, the downside. Give us your thoughts on these scenarios.
Well, when the media outlets like Fox Business News and CNBC ask me for my market predictions, which usually happens right around the end of December every year, I tell them that this year, 2017, is going to be a double-digit year. And then I pause and I say, I can't tell you whether it's double digits on the upside or the downside. And the reason is because of the emotions that are in the markets today. You know, you have to remember that 51% of the population voted for Hillary Clinton. Most of those folks were really opposed to Trump's policies. And I believe, just from talking to folks every single day, that 51% of the population probably controls 60 to 70% of the nation's wealth. And again, those are the people that are going to have one finger on the trigger, watching Donald Trump, listening to him, paying attention to his tweets in the first 100 days. And again, if there's one particular thing that he does that they don't like, that they disapprove of, they're going to pull the trigger and try to get a good chunk of their money out of the market just because they don't feel confident. And again, you know, the music's going to stop, and then, you know, the question becomes, you know, are there going to be enough chairs for everyone? And the answer is obviously no. In musical chairs, there's always somebody stuck without a chair.
Right.
So we just need to watch the markets closely this year. This momentum we're seeing can carry it upward more. But if someone's going to stay in the stock market with a lot of their money, they need to be have one finger on the trigger, or they need to trail stop losses, or they need to do something to protect themselves. A lot of people are just saying, you know, it doesn't make sense. You know, we have 200 years of market history that says at some point there has to be a 30% drop from where we are today. The drop could be as large as we saw in 2009 and 2008, which is 70%. And they're saying, heck, if the best the markets might do in the next year is a positive 10%, but the worst is between a negative 30 and negative 70, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, I walk into a casino and, you know, I'm not going to play that game. If I win, I make $10. I lose 30 to 70. So,
right.
You know, if you're not going to be a really active investor, you're not going to really watch it closely, it might be a good time to take some winnings off the table and just play it conservatively, especially if you're retired or close to retirement.
Amen, my brother. I like that. I like that a lot. Again, the book, if you guys want to go out and get it and maybe get yourself ready for good times and bad, it's Return on Principle, 7 Core Values to Help Protect Your Money in Good Times and in Bad. Best-selling author David Scranton. And you can find out more about David and his team at soundincomestrategies.com. Is that right, David?
Yes, soundincomestrategies.com. And Return on Principle actually has its own website, returnonprinciple.com. And, of course, principle is spelled ending in P-L-E.
P-L-E, not P-A-L. And,
correct.
You know, that's actually a pretty nice little .com you snagged there, Return on Principle. I thought for sure that would be gone. So that's a nice little coup there as well. Returnonprinciple.com, returnonprinciple.com. And David Scranton, always good to have you here. Looking forward to getting your insights in 2017 and see what we can do.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Bert. As usual, it's my pleasure.
All righty. Good stuff there from David Scranton, CEO of soundincomestrategies.com. And you can pick up the book at returnonprinciple.com or at Amazon or wherever your favorite bookstore is. It's amazing to me. It's so important. And I think that if you pick up this book, you'll be better prepared to manage your money. And I think David and I covered some very interesting stuff. You can tell David is a conservative investor. But anyway, so check him out. Check out his book. See if it's something that might help you. As always, I'm so appreciative of you guys staying here with me and promoting the show. Thank you to my friends there at Facebook for helping us out. Norma Mendez, thank you. Joanna, thank you. Kathy, Adam, all you guys are out there. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. So as always, you know, we were not put on this planet to just be miserable and to just pay bills. If anything, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went about enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. Cyberpolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.